Number 94. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, a science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. Welcome this week to a tale that plays with relativity, quantum probability, and our experience of time. It's called Time Now. The time is now, and everything is about to change. As it always does, every moment, every place, every event in time and space, for the observer and the participant, the internal and the external viewer of the event. But in this now, perhaps something greater will change. Perhaps the theoretical discoveries of the Future Institute could finally be tested by machines sophisticated enough to do so. The helicopter flies in from the west, chasing the sunset towards the tallest skyscraper in Hong Kong, the International Commerce Centre, the ICC, where a platform awaits the arrival of scientists, journalists and politicians from around the world for the presentation of Time Now. "We're lucky to run late," the pilot shouted through the noise in the small cabin, nodding to her two passengers squeezed in behind her. "I don't think we'll have to wait for long." "Why are there so many copters floating around the building?" Nala, a researcher from the New York Times and an eager research physics graduate, held her computer close to her chest. "They're all waiting for a quick pickup. That's what we've been told to do." The pilot looked at Nala and slowed her approach to the tower. "Unusual?" The other passenger, an older man, Peter, no less enthusiastic than his companion, swept at the hair flapping around his eyes. "Yes, maybe it's a short presentation, but that's hundreds of thousands of dollars in fuel and airtime being eaten up." Peter looked at his flight companion, crushed against his side in the noisy cabin. "Do you know much about what we're going to see?"
"I know what they've told us, like you."
"Oh yes, I just don't understand it. I'm filling in for a colleague who had to go to another conference at the last minute. I've no idea about all this quantum and time stuff, really."
"Oh, but it's not just about that. If what they imply is true, then it means humanity really does have a significant place in the universe."
"Really? You and me and our good pilot here?"
"No, I don't mean that. The universe doesn't care what we do as individuals, but is affected by our actions as a species."
"I can't imagine if the universe has feelings at all, it thinks any more about us than the rock that tower is built on."
"No, that's not right. Humans are made of elements, so are rocks and gases, and we're all derived from the same sources billions of years ago."
"Oh, that's way over my head." Pieter shifted uncomfortably.
"Just think about it. We're made up of atoms, same as everything else. If you ignore consciousness, the physical matter of us is just a variation on all other physical objects."
"Why do you take consciousness out of the equation? Surely it's the one big thing that distinguishes us."
"Well, we don't really know what it is. We haven't developed the language or the capability to describe it. But whatever consciousness is, it resides within an object, the body, which is subject to the same forces as everything else in the universe."
"So how does that help us with whatever we're going to see at the ICC?
"Well, we'll soon find out, won't we? But Carl Sagan said that humans function as the universe's experiment, a way to measure the rest of itself."
"Just humans or all living things?"
"Ah, that's the point. All living things that we've encountered do not try to control their environment consciously like humans, on this planet anyway.
Whereas humans have both developed and destroyed.
Something like that. Some call it inevitable progress, or a manifestation of will, the innate desire to move in order to grow. In order to grow, though, the universe has to expand too."
"Ah, we don't know if that's the same thing. If the events of the Big Bang created the big expansion and irregular waveforms and dust clouds that caused clusters of matter, which ultimately became stars, then the human desire to progress is part of the same pattern,
assuming our perception of time is correct."
"Yes, the passage of time at least. There's another theory which I think is rolled into today's event, which suggests that if there are other species of conscious living beings in the universe, their perceptions of the passage of time might be different."
"You just said the human perception of time is effectively in sync with the universe, so surely any other similar species might be too."
"Well, we simply don't know. It's likely that our perception is limited by our understanding and our ability to describe what we observe. Some of the images coming back from NASA's new telescope we'll seek far out into the future, but it's possible we won't understand what we'll see until we unlock the maths to spell it out.
Dark matter and all that.
And all that, yeah.
Nala saw the pilot look around. Just a few minutes to landing. You'll need to hurry. I'll wait, as you see. The helicopter threaded through the 20 or so others that hung like bugs around the top of the ICC tower.
It's all about time, really, Nala mused.
Sorry? Peter looked at Nala.
The event today, look. See that huge dome close to the landing pad? They peered down as the helicopter descended. That's where we need to run to.
I think my running days are over, Peter laughed. The helicopter approached the pad, fighting its tail for a moment, then landed with a jolt.
Go, go, go!
The pilot remotely opened the doors, helping the passengers leave quickly, then lifted away.
Whoa! What was that you were saying about running?
Wait and see. They hurried over to the dome and were ushered into the presentation. The last to arrive, they sat discreetly at the back. In front of them, several rows of people were lined up on the one side, with an equal block of empty chairs on the right. And in front of them all, a large machine, the size of a square bus, sat pulsing its blue and yellow lights. Two voices emerged. They spoke alternately in soothing tones. The path is fixed. It has been lived. The future is not yet fixed. So the now is a rolling state of fixing the future. The future ultimately has one path, but we do not know it yet. The past has one path, which we do know. So the now has many potential paths. Our recent observations of the distant in the stars have revealed new ways of observing the universe, of observing time, particularly the present, the now. The now, which has many potential paths. What if we could hold the now in our theoretical hands? What if we could stop the now from resolving into a fixed future? What if we could maintain a now of many potential paths for long enough to understand the universe better? What if by installing perpetual probability, replacing certainty, we could detect other thinking species in the universe that live and grow alongside us, but only in the stillness of the present? The now becomes the future. Let's stop the forward motion of time. So let's see what happens. The huge pulsing machine stirred, then turned slowly, before spinning relentlessly for what seemed both like an age and an instant. The audience of scientists, politicians and journalists became scared as the machine spun ever faster. Some stood up and left their seats, others closed their eyes, but as if in a single moment, they all burst across the aisle to the empty seats and looked back. They saw themselves, their physical selves, watching. They looked at each other and saw those standing next to them were sitting on the other side. And all around were creatures, standing too, some humanoid, others not, but all of them nodding, as if in welcome, clustered around the dome, as though they'd always been there, observing us, and finally we had found a way to see beyond our fragile forms and return their gaze. Nala looked at Peter, who looked shocked and asked, "Did you know?"
"No," she smiled, "but I hoped."
So it's always tempting to explore multi-universe theories or alternate history. And I've done that several times throughout the many episodes of this podcast. It's interesting, therefore, to play with the potential of the present, because that's what really defines the future. Choices and investigations that drive our understanding of the universe and plot particular paths to the future. I hope you enjoyed this journey through time, space and the everyday, and I look forward to seeing you next time. This is Jake Jackson. Goodbye.